Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news as more incredible stories come out from our football club. Michael Carrick being given a ridiculous demand that they basically held a meeting and they want Champions League football. I mean, this is just madness. It's like asking a bloke with no knob to get Pat Butcher pregnant. It's an impossible task on more than one level. Three levels, actually, when you think about it. But anyway, also, we've got a fallout from the club coming in from The Athletic. Solskjaer, Wilcox, Sir Alex, Sir Jim, all involved. All what's going on there. The search for a new manager. What will happen with transfers? And more people starting to call out the ownership as well, which I see as a positive this Wednesday morning. So, yeah, lots to get into. And I welcome you to the United Stand this morning. But look, I think the first thing I would say is that, and I think this should be called out, is that if I was the CEO or the director of football at Manchester United, I'm sure you would do the same as well. I would be absolutely determined to be communicating publicly. After the last 10 days we've had, the last person we heard from publicly was Ruben Amorim. We've not had anything from Sir Jim Ratcliffe or Joel Glazer or Omar Berada or Jason Wilcox. Does anybody just get the fact that the way they run this club is absolutely terrible? Now, I know that's like not breaking news. It's slow sports news. But what football club sacks their manager 10 days ago for no particular reason other than a fallout with the board and then doesn't come out to explain to us, you, why they've done it and what the vision is now? I mean, what is the vision now? All we get is fed stuff from client journalists and then interviews from interim managers or ex-managers. But we don't get anything from Jason Wilcox or Omar Berada or Sir Jim Ratcliffe. I mean, it's pitiful. We've just been through, 14 months of... they're in it for the long term, 3-year plan, you know, this is what we're going to do. We don't care what anybody says. We're not bothered about ex-players. We're not bothered about fans. We're not bothered about the media. We're building something here new and we don't mind what it is. And then they abandon it, almost listening to fans and the media, bring an interim back, which we've already had before, and then don't put any statements out about what the vision is. It's just sort of like get Champions League football. When you think about it, they deserve to lose the club and they deserve people to stop buying things and they deserve people to start putting pressure on people like Andy Burnham, who is involved in the regeneration project. Is he the mayor of Manchester? I mean, he's got an email address. You know, people say, what can we do? Email Andy Burnham and say, these people, these owners do not represent Manchester. You know, they're making the red side of Manchester miserable. Why are you supporting such a vile organisation in ruining Manchester United Football Club, which is a huge part of Manchester? There are things you can do. You can get in contact with Andy Burnham or his secretary. You know, he's a delegated, voted for official of Manchester, isn't he? You know, there's things you can do. And what the club don't realise is, and I think sometimes you, the fans, don't realise is, football is consumerism. And the consumer is the most important person. They're just very good at subduing you and making you fight amongst each other. You know, Manchester United is a luxury to the Glazers, isn't it? It is a luxury. This is not life and soul. This is a money-making thing. You know, it's like owning a business down the road that makes you money. You're not that bothered about it. You make money out of it. It's a consumer item. If it stops making money and becomes problematic, they'll leave it. They're not attached to it. It's just money. It makes them money. And if it causes them problems, they will leave it. But we allow them to keep making money. You've got to cut the legs off. You've got to, you know, the stadium, the regeneration needs to be stopped. Money needs to stop going into that football club. It's very easy. Now, how you stop it? Well, you know, many people have tried. But ultimately, they're idiots. They've sacked Amorim. They've bought an interim in. And in 10 days, they've done nothing. Nobody has stepped forward to speak to the fans, the consumers. You know, the people that matter the most, the people that pay them their dividends, their wages, you know, their share prices go up and down based on your opinion. And not one of them has come out to tell us what the vision is anymore. In fact, the vision is Michael Carrick is an interim till the summer. Woo! That's a different vision to the one you had a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, I think it should be called out. But let's get into the news, because we can always go back into that. This is coming in from The Athletic. Now, we're going to talk about the demand that Michael Carrick's been made. Michael Carrick has basically been told to get Champions League football. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Apparently, Jason Wilcox was at Carrington yesterday speaking to the players, telling them that the aim now is Champions League football for the rest of the season. Now, why one of these players didn't have the balls to put their hand in the air and go, and Jason goes, you, and go, yeah, Jason, one thing, why are you so shit at your job? 2 weeks ago, we were being told something completely different. You've sacked that guy because he fell out with you. Well, you can't sack me. I'm under contract. Let's see how that goes. You want Michael Carrick to come in here and get us into the Champions League spots when we've not been in the Champions League spots all season. We clearly need investments in January, which you're refusing. And you're telling now us, a set of players that have played half a season here and have not been able to get in the Champions League spots, you're now saying, with no improvement, sacking a manager and an interim till the end of the season, you're now demanding we get in the Champions League spots. That's your plan, is it? So basically, sweet FA, you're just a chancer, aren't you? That's what you are, Jason. Well, no. Let me speak. This could be a youth player. You, apparently, are our director of football. You've been at games watching us play, and you can see that we have never been in the top four. And now you stood here in front of us, having sacked a manager. You won't buy players in January. You've brought an interim who's got no experience, really. And you're saying Champions League football. I mean, what brand of idiot are you? Because I'm sort of trying to figure it out. You know, it's sort of like, you know, when you buy some bread, you know, from Tesco or Sainsbury's, and you're trying to figure out whose brand it is. What brand of idiot are you? Because you're definitely an idiot. But what? Why are you here telling us to go and get Champions League football? That's your job, you bloody idiot. You're the idiot who's meant to make us get Champions League football. You can't just walk. Your job is not just to walk into the dressing room and say, get Champions League football. Your job is actually to strategize it. Your job is to look at the world of football, look at the Premier League, look at what everyone else is doing, look at the weaknesses, look at the fixtures, look at it all and go, I've masterminded a plan to take us from a team that's not in the Champions League into the Champions League. You can't just walk in the dressing room and say, go and get the Champions League. That's the demand. That's crap on your part. And everyone stands up and cheers. But it is. You can't just walk into the United dressing room having sacked a manager, brought an interim in, refused to buy any players. We've never been in the top four, and then say you've got to go and get top four. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And it's totally unfair on Michael Carrick, because you're almost saying if Michael Carrick gets Champions League football, you're giving him the job, which nobody wants. And you're almost saying if he doesn't get Champions League football, he's a failure, which he's clearly not. You know, Brighton says he might have been misquoted. He might have said Championship football. Maybe. But look, this is interesting, right? So this has come out from The Athletic. More leaks. But this, in my opinion, it's really hard to read this. You could go multiple ways, right? However, what you have to accept is it's more leaks. So this is from The Athletic. Sources close to Solskjaer believe he had the support of Wilcox and Berarda as the most senior figures within United's sporting department, but they were unsure he had as much backing from the club's ownership, the Glazer family and Sir Jim. United have insisted separately that at no point did anybody within the ownership challenge Wilcox's recommendation to appoint Carrick, which had to be a technically led decision. Solskjaer was informed by Wilcox on Monday that he hadn't been chosen. Disappointed, but sources say his preference would have been to take the job on a permanent basis, working for the long term, rather than the only few months until the summer. He believes United require a major rebuild to close the gap to the Premier League title, a point he made to the club's executives during their conversations. Now, look, Solskjaer is a Manchester United legend. I've seen some people reacting badly to Solskjaer. My stance on Solskjaer is he gave us fans who remember it one of the best nights of our lives. In Barcelona, in helping us win the treble. And his legendary status is secured. As a manager, I don't rate him, and I wanted him to be sacked, and I would have been a hypocrite to say I wanted him back. But what this does is you have to look at that and go, right, is this all coming from Solskjaer? Is it spin? You know, is it coming from the board to make themselves look good? Are they now using Solskjaer as a scapegoat in the sense that, you know, Solskjaer didn't get the job, so he's leaking against the club. They did his sour grapes. But I think you always have to go back to the start here. Why is Solskjaer being interviewed for the job? Because our board decided to interview him. End of story. Leave Solskjaer out of this. He never should have been interviewed. He never should be considered. But our board cannot take credit. You know, you don't get a glow up because you picked Carrick over Solskjaer. You interviewed Solskjaer, which shows you how miles off you are. So, you know, I feel bad for Ollie because he's obviously been interviewed. He's obviously been given encouragement and then they've said no. But they've called him up. They've interviewed him. You know, he's not like that guy who was trying to buy United, who's got no chance of buying United, who just goes around saying, I'm going to buy Man United. This is a guy that was interviewed for the job and was going to get the job last week. They've changed their mind during the interview process. Like, everybody was saying Solskjaer, you know, towards the end of last week. So what this shows again is that it's the incompetence of the board. You know, Solskjaer's been interviewed by these people. He's obviously got quite close to getting the job and they decided to go with Carrick. But then you've got Solskjaer sort of leaking his side of the story, which he's got his right to. And again, it just exposes incompetence because...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The feedback we get from United is that Berarda will pick the winning team. You know, he's not a leader. He'll pick the winning team. If Wilcox says he wants Southgate and Sir Jim says, Berarda will back him. But if Sir Jim says, if you say Southgate again, you're getting sacked, Berarda will be behind Sir Jim going like that. You know, he just picks the winning team. He's not a strong leader. That's from the rumour mill. You've got Wilcox, who's got wild ideas, and sometimes they agree with him. But then... last night, we heard that Sir Alex Ferguson was advocating for Carrick. I mean, Ben Jacobs said that on our show last week. And it's been confirmed by good sources again last night. So Sir Alex Ferguson is saying Carrick. Sir Jim is probably saying Carrick. Wilcox probably said Ollie and then has had to change his mind to everybody else. It's just a mess. It's a mess, isn't it? So they'll listen to Wilcox on sacking Amorim, but they won't listen to Wilcox on Ollie. So it's sort of like, It's just a one big mess, isn't it? And it sounds like nobody knows what they're doing. You know, one person wants one thing, the other one wants another. One of them's just going flitting between the two teams. It's just another indication of poor leadership. And you know, Solskjaer cannot be painted as the villain in this piece because he wanted the job full time and he said it needed a big rebuild. I mean, ultimately they probably didn't give him the job because he said he needed money. And Carrick probably said he doesn't need money. I mean, has anybody ever thought about that? It might not have been the embarrassment of bringing Ollie back. It might have been that Ollie said, I'll take the job, but I need signings in January, which is absolutely true. Anybody with a brain would say, I'll take the job, but I need signings in January. Maybe Solskjaer said, I want signings in January. This is who I want. And Carrick said, I don't need signings in January. I'll just take the job. In which case, who are you going to choose? You're going to choose Carrick. So who knows what Ollie said, but Ollie should never have been interviewed in the first place. We never should have been considering to bring back. But he is right in the sense that we do need major investment and we do need signings now. But the big issue here is that we actually interviewed him. You can't paint him as the villain and the desperate, you know, person who didn't get chosen when you actually interviewed him. And it just shows that, you know, the sometimes, a lot of the time at United, you don't know where the head is, the arse or the actual head. It's all over the place. And again, you know, you've done an interim process, you've interviewed for the interim, and you've ended up looking stupid doing that. You know, if you were interviewing Tuchel and Nagelsmann and you went with Tuchel and Nagelsmann wasn't happy with how it went, you'd at least go, well, we were interviewing two really good managers to be the future of our football club. We're interviewing interims, and when we pick somebody, the other one is sort of like going, what a joke. And, you know, we've spent a week interviewing interims to end up in a position where we're getting all these leaks out now of the incompetence that went on in that process when other clubs are out there buying players in the January transfer window. So we've incompetently sacked a manager and then we've incompetently spent a week interviewing interims. And even that's been a mess, an absolute confusing mess. it is just absolutely ridiculous. But look, we are where we are. It's been confirmed again this morning that there'll be no transfers in January. I have to say Michael Carrick's on board with that. You know, I really hope Carrick can get something. And I have a feeling that we might get something on in the Manchester derby, but that's for tomorrow in the preview. But I do agree with those people who say, whether it's Solskjaer, Carrick, Fletcher or Van Nistelrooy, obviously we all like them as former players, but who would you respect more? The one who says, they tried to interview me for the job, I wouldn't speak to them, they're destroying the football club, I can't stand them, or the guy who sits there and says, I'll take the job? We need more people to go, fuck off. They tried to interview me. I wouldn't go near them with a barge pole. They are ruining that football club. I will never, ever, ever, as much as I love it, go and work for them. Imagine if somebody actually said that. That's what we need at this point. We don't actually need any more people coming to the rescue on their horse. I'll do it for free. You know, we actually do need vocal support at this stage now. And we're starting to see more and more of it. I mean, look, it might be insignificant to some of you, but I saw an interview with a journalist from Sky yesterday, Sky Cave, they call him. He said about Man United, they're going to be in this situation again in the summer. We've all been saying this for 20 years and I'm bored of saying it. There are deeper structural problems at Manchester United and the problems are to do with the ownership. And we're slowly starting to see that, you know, the journalistic world, the media, even some content creators who are terrified of losing access to a press conference that doesn't even happen at the moment, they're all starting to realise that fans want change. And the, you know, we've been doing this for a long time now in context of everybody else. But we started on New Year's Eve, didn't we, really? Even before Amorim was sacked. But more and more people are waking up to it now. More and more people are realising that, you know, and I applaud them and I implore them to do it more. Because that's the conversation people actually want to have. I think people are really bored about going, isn't Delo shit? He's the problem. Or isn't the formation the problem? Ooh. Or isn't, you know, the coach the problem? Or isn't Bruno the problem? Like, all these problems are small. And as I said when Amorim was here, if you remove the ownership, you remove Amorim anyway. Because no new owner keeps the current manager. So it starts at the top. And look, there are so many things you can do. So many things you can do. I understand there needs to be a bit of leadership and an organisation, and maybe you don't feel that comes from certain groups, and maybe something should be done around that. But there are so many things. You're intelligent people. Just don't buy shirts. That's a personal thing. Terry's not been buying shirts for 2 years. Just don't buy shirts anymore. Don't do it. Don't tell everyone else not to do it. Just you don't do it. You know, get in contact with, you know, Andy Burnham. You know, he's a delegated official, is the mayor of Manchester. You know, why are you working with these people? You're meant to represent Manchester. They're destroying Manchester United Football Club. You know, why are you helping them stay here for the next 10 years by building them a stadium? You know, there's loads of stuff that people can do, but that's down to you as an individual. I think some people look to others and go, well, you're not doing it. Look, evil prospers if good people sit back and do nothing. And there's plenty of things people can do. And the more people do it individualistically, the bigger the power will be. But it is starting to grow because we've said this before. How are things going to change at Manchester United? I mean, I'm very, very willing to have the conversation. And unfortunately, there's not many people about now saying, oh, you're so negative. You know, 2 weeks ago, you're so negative. You're always moaning. I could sit here every day and go, I told you so. I'm not interested in that. I just want people to understand why some of us were moaning 2 weeks ago. Because it wasn't about Amorim. It wasn't about formations. It wasn't about Bruno in the midfield. It was about the way the football club is going. And the last week has proved everybody who was moaning to be correct. This club at the top is rotten. And they haven't got a bloody clue what they're doing. And the fact that Michael Carrick is coming into this job and being told the expectation is Champions League football is crazy. It's absolutely crazy, you know? I joked at the start, it's like a guy with no knob trying to get Pat Butcher pregnant, which is impossible. But asking Michael Carrick to get Champions League football with that squad is ridiculous. You know what I'd be saying to Michael Carrick? I'd be saying, it's a tough job. You know, I've been here for a year. I've seen exactly how those players react. I've seen exactly what the quality is. I know exactly what the quality of the rest of the Premier League is. Michael, if you can stabilise, if you can get us into Europe in any way, shape or form, we'll be very, very happy. Realistically, you can't finish outside the top eight, but anywhere between fourth and eighth is going to be an achievement with what we've done to this club this season. So, you know, pat him on the back and say, look, don't want to put you under any pressure. Obviously, we're Manchester United. We've got to try and finish as high as we can, but we've fucked up big time. And, you know, we've abandoned this halfway through the season. The fan base is fed up. The players are fed up. We're not spending any money. Between you and me, if you can stabilise and provide us with some sort of European football, we'll be over the moon. You don't walk in and go, well, we want Champions League football. And that just demonstrates the level of ineptitude that is at the very top of Manchester United, that they have got no accountability at all. I mean, look, I ain't got a problem with it. You know, I've had it with this community, the Rashford thing. There was one a few weeks ago. I can't remember what it was. Mainu and the T-shirt, wasn't it? I've got it wrong. I don't sit there just ignoring it. I'll go, right, I got it wrong. I've read the room. I got it wrong. And if I was director of football or CEO of Manchester United, I'm going to get a lot of shit for it, but I'm definitely going to do an interview. I'm not scared of what a journalist's going to say. I'm not worried about the fans giving me shit when it's deserved. I'd stand there and own it and go, look, we've made a big mistake here. We've made a very big mistake. We've gone with something with the best interests of the club at heart. We've got it really, really wrong. And we've got 6 months to try and turn this around. And if we don't, then I think in the summer, you know, you might not be speaking to me. But that's the responsibility of Manchester United. You know, I have got no right to say I'm going to be here in 12 months' time. You know, we've made some decisions that haven't gone the way we wanted to collectively. I take responsibility for that. I felt we had to act last week with the manager. We wish Ruben all the best, but it just felt like it wasn't going to work. Obviously, it's not ideal what we've done, but we're bringing Michael in, who knows the club, to steer the ship and try and get the season back on track with a view to the summer, you know, deciding what the vision for this football club is. And we're very disappointed. But ultimately, we felt that we were better off ending that relationship than carrying on. It felt like it wasn't the right relationship. How hard is it to come out and do that? And some of our fan base would actually appreciate it. Might be a bit naive to agree with it, but, you know, they might agree with it, you know? So I think that that is the way to go. Thank you very much, Savage. We still get idiots in the chat.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But look, ultimately, I was thinking about this today. It's like, what you need to remember is where the blame lies. You know, I feel like, you know, the board wanted Carrick, but Wilcox and Berarda wanted Solskjaer. And that comes out, and that's spin, because that's like the board going, yeah, it's Wilcox and Berarda's fault. You know, they wanted Solskjaer, we wanted Carrick, so everyone will like us. No, you're in charge. You are in charge. You can't now throw Amrim under the bus and then throw Wilcox and Berarda under the bus. You picked all of these people. And it feels like that, doesn't it? It feels like we're always being spun. You know, so there's a story that Wilcox and Berarda wanted Solskjaer, but it was Sir Jim and the Glazers that wanted Carrick. Dun, 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 and it's like, well, you're in charge. You appointed Amrim in the first place and you appointed Wilcox and Berarda. So if they make bad decisions, it's your fault. You can't go, oh, I appointed these people. It's a bit like, it's like making a remake of Pretty Woman, right? And instead of appointing a, you know, going for an American woman that looks like Julia Roberts, you go for a Portuguese guy who's an up-and-coming actor who does things their own way. And then, you know, you release the first episode because you're doing it as a series because everyone does it now. About this sounds very much like the sort of thing Hollywood bosses would do now, actually. Anyway, you release it on Netflix or whatever, first episode. People go, I can't stand this. This is not what Pretty Woman should be. You know, we want a woman who's American. We don't want a man with a Portuguese accent playing it. You know, they might be talented, but it's not what we want. And then the producer goes, well, no, this is what we're going to do. This is our idea. We're going to stick with it. There's going to be three seasons of this. So get used to it, right? After episode four, the reviews are terrible. The reviews are absolutely terrible. So the director says, well, you're fired. You're fired. You're fired. And the producer goes, you're fired. You're fired, right? What's the problem with that? What's the problem with that? The problem with that is that, right, people might not have liked that, you know, artistic license that's been used or interpretation, but who's responsible for it? Is it the actor? Or is it the director who wrote the script and the producer who recruited everybody? And that's where we are at Manchester United. Like, it's almost like there is this movement to go, oh, Amorim, 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 without realising who wrote the script and who paid for it. Our owners, Wilcox Barada, they presented Amorim to us. He is who he is. You might not like it, you might not like the formation, but he is who he is. United decided to interpret that Manchester United needed to go down that road. And some people didn't like it, but it wasn't Amorim. It was the people who employed him that caused the problem. I just returned home from Asia, had a chance to buy the jersey, but I said no, says Canada Dave. Thank you, pal. Letter to Andy Burnham could focus on guaranteeing no financial support for the regeneration of Old Trafford. Jim, nice but dim. Glazers must go, says Keel Robinson. Look, ultimately, you know, I'm not afraid to give my opinion, and I'm sure you're not afraid to give yours, because my only focus is Manchester United getting back to being one of the best teams in England again. England, not Europe. England. You know, I want to be one of the best teams in Europe and one of the best teams in the world again, but just England would be nice. So what is the problem with lobbying Andy Burnham with letters and emails about why is he supporting the regeneration project when that could be done without the Glazers and Sir Jim anyway? These people are destroying Manchester United Football Club. He's probably going to throw it in the bin and not listen to it, but he should listen to it, because Manchester is a huge city and he is the mayor of it. And a vast amount of people from Manchester do not like what's happening with Manchester United Football Club. So if you're just going to listen to the billionaires over the people who elected you, that's bang out of order. That's not what you've been elected to do. You know, you haven't started up your own business. You're the mayor of Manchester because you're elected to be by the people. And if you don't listen to lots of people saying, we don't like that you're working with them and we elected you, well, that's something very, very different. But I don't live in Manchester, so it's hard to do that, but plenty of you do. Rob says, five memberships. Sorry, Rob has gifted five memberships. You're a legend, Rob. Did agree with the players for now. Talk like a Xhaka, says Brixter. If he misses Champions League, I won't blame him. Fans should direct their anger at the owners. Every loss under him comes from their failures, says John. Do you think we'll get Champions League football? I mean, it's not impossible, but as a percentage, I'd say 25%. I'd say we've got a 25% chance of Champions League football and a 50% chance of Europa League. I don't think we've got a good chance of the Europa League either. I think we've got 50% chance of the Europa League, 50-50, and 25% of the Champions League. But I think after the next two games, if we don't win one, I think that dilutes that a little bit. I mean, we've got winnable games in February, but we had winnable games last month. So Andy Burnham will care about voters, says Keel. Well, that's my interpretation of it. You know, if the people in Manchester are lobbying him, saying don't work with those people, you're an elected mayor of Manchester, aren't you? Surely you've got to listen to the people. But it's whether people can get off that, you know, be asked to do that, write that email, you know, send that letter, whatever. But we're all waiting for somebody else to do stuff, and that's lazy. You know, we can all do stuff ourselves. Yes, there needs to be more collectively, I agree, but everybody can do something themselves if it bothers you. Things can only get better, Tony Blair style, says Jay Greenwood. A make do now is costly in the future. Owners out now, says Amit. Southgate's now 7-1, says Methane. I'll just double check that.
We don't want any scaremongering. Yes, he is. He's flown in to 6-1. Fucking hell. He's third favourite. Yes, last night he was 12-1. He's now 6-1. So his odds have halved. Thomas Tuchel is 10-1. Glasner is 5-1. And Carrick is favourite. So Southgate is now 6-1. And people said to me yesterday morning, oh, stop scaremongering. It's like the people who said 2 weeks ago, stop moaning, isn't it? And look at where we are now. And last night I had people saying, stop scaremongering the fan base about Southgate. If you tolerate this, then your children will be next. Oh, I think the only thing we can take from Man United at the moment is that it will get worse. There's one guarantee at the moment is that it will get worse. And when you think that won't happen, I mean, I never thought we were going to sack Amorim in January, right? I never thought we wouldn't buy anybody in January. And I never thought we would be interviewing Solskjaer to come back. So already in 2020, remember on New Year's Eve and at Christmas, we said, hopefully this time next year, it'll be a better year, right? I remember on Christmas Eve on the live show, I said, this time last year, we were hoping that this next year was going to be really important for us, right? Obviously, 2025 wasn't great. 15th, lost the Europa League final. Terrible win ratio, arguments about formations, whatever. Didn't buy a midfielder. But on Christmas Eve 2025, we were like, oh, please, surely over the next 12 months, things will get better. Over the next 12 days, things have got worse. I mean, in the first week of 2026, we've sacked Ruben Amorim. It's been confirmed we're not signing anybody in January. We've interviewed Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to bring him back, and Gareth Southgate is 6-1 to be our next manager. I mean, that is a very shit start to 2026. Four big kicks in the nuts there. Unbelievable. So I think the only thing we can really take away from that is that if United can give you those four kicks in the nuts in a week, imagine what they can do over the next 6 months. I think the best bet is to predict that things are going to get worse. And some people think it's not sabotage. I mean, I don't think it's sabotage. I just think it's pure incompetence. But what a week. Sack your manager, refuse to sign players, interview Solskjaer to come back, and Gareth Southgate is 6-1 to be the next manager. I mean, that is Halloween. That is a horror. That is what a chain of events. All in the first two weeks of 2026 as well. Wow. Do you really think we'll get Southgate? Look, the bookies can be wrong, but he's English. And remember, they seem to like to employ English now. They seem to be very obsessed with English now. They like him. He's a yes man. He's a company man. He's not that bothered about fan opinion because a lot of England fans didn't rate him. He's not really bothered about criticism about tactics. He's absolutely shit, by the way, but so is our board. So, yeah. On a serious note, do you think he'd do good? No, I genuinely don't think he'd do good because I think if Gareth Southgate was given the Arsenal job, he'd probably be able to get them in the top four with that squad and the money he's got because he's crap. But at Man United, with the expectations at Man United, the limitations we've got in the budget, the limitations we've got in the squad, no, I do not think he would make us very good. He might be able to scam an FA Cup or maybe a top five position every now and again. But the guy bottled two of the best opportunities I've seen in my life for England. None more so than, and he got a knighthood for this, England, Italy at Wembley in a final where we're 1-0 up. He got a bloody knighthood for bottling it. You know, so I don't think he's a very good coach. I think he's a very good politician. He's probably a nice guy, but this is Man United. I don't need to be friends with Gareth Southgate. I don't need to go for a meal with Gareth Southgate. We don't need to be friends. So if he's a nice guy, well done. Manchester United's more important to me than the individual. I think he'd be a bloody nightmare. And I actually thought he was a crap coach for England. I thought he was a crap coach at bloody Middlesbrough. So boring. I thought he was a boring player as well. You know, I'm not saying I agree with Roy Keane stamping on him, but, you know, part of me thinks that a certain percentage of people probably would agree with that. Violence should never be condoned. But the point is, it was a bad foul. He deserves to get sent off. The point is, it would be a bloody nightmare. And he knows nothing about Man United as well. And then I've heard this bollocks that he's a childhood Man United fan. Oh, fuck off. We know Glazers are a mess. I've never heard him speak about Man United in any way, shape or form that made me think he knows anything about Man United either. We know Glazers are a mess. But then again, people could say that about me. We know the Glazers are a mess, but how has Radcliffe built an organisation worth billions with such inconsistent crap decision making, says Mojo. No, look, I respect Sir Jim Radcliffe and what he's done. You know, he's a billionaire from nothing because he's an expert in his field. But that field is not a football field.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Rajath, this is tragic, but as long as Glinios is there, we cannot expect anything major from the football side. They are fully focused on the stadium and cash, says Rajath. Well, you know what? You make a good point, Rajath. These owners are not bothered about the footballing side because they're just bothered on the stadium and regeneration. So maybe the fans who are bothered about the football side should just be focused on the regeneration project and making it very difficult for them. You know, maybe there's land out there that Man United fans own that can stop the Glazers and the regeneration project. You know, maybe lobbying Andy Burnham. You know, maybe you've got contacts yourself. Look, there's a lot of people who watch this show who aren't just, you know, sat around there jobless. You know, some intelligent people. You know, we get messages from them all the time. There's some very influential people as well. You know, maybe it's time people started to think, right, okay, these owners are making us all miserable. They're only focused on the regeneration project. They're not focused on the football side. We're focused on the football side. Maybe we should focus on the regeneration projects. And maybe that's something that we can focus on to make their lives difficult. You know, they make our lives difficult by not focusing on the football. Let's make their lives difficult by focusing on the regeneration projects, because they'll soon take notice then. I mean, they soon took notice when the Liverpool game got cancelled. You start causing them problems and they'll start saying, what can we do? What can we do? Ineos promised change, but the football is still dire. No identity, no control, just excuses. This isn't progress, it's drift, says Nonny. And Pokey says, if Ineos treat United like a business, they should act like one. Any top business explains management changes and direction. That transparency is the least they owe us, says Pokey. Sir Jim, nice but dim, says Keel. I bet there'll be a guest episode on the overlap soon, says TJ. Well, look, you know, somebody did say a couple of minutes ago, is there any way back? The club, you know, you don't need me to tell you, but the club is just so arrogant. You know, as an entity, it's so arrogant. Like, it's so up its own arse. It won't speak, you know, it's got no time for fans. No times at all. Doesn't like things like this. United Stand doesn't like Manchester United Supporters Trust. Doesn't like the 58. Doesn't like anything that questions them, basically. They think they're better. They're arrogant. They're up their own arse. Of course, I, and I'm sure you, would sit in a room with Sir Jim Radcliffe if he wanted to listen and tell him what needs to be done. I wouldn't want to do it. I wouldn't want a job, but I'd say, look, you know, if you want a quick win, you should do this, this, and this. And if he agreed to do it, I would give him the time. And I would hope that you would. But he won't listen. He won't listen. He surrounds himself with yes men and idiots and thinks he knows better than everybody else because he's a very successful billionaire in a field that none of us would have a bloody clue in. But when it comes to football, you're walking onto our field and you don't have a clue. And that's what annoys me. The Glazers are the Glazers. I mean, who are the Glazers? You know, they're not football people. They're business people. So Jim Radcliffe sold himself as a lifelong local lad Manchester United fan. And he doesn't behave like one. He doesn't behave like a Man United fan at all. No Man United fan would be sat there going, let's not buy in January. No Man United fan would be interviewing Solskjaer again. No Man United fan would be doing the things that he's done. I don't believe he's a Man United fan. I don't. I believe he's one of those fans, and we all know them. You know, you might have them at work. They might be a family member who you're into football and you see them at Christmas and they go, oh, yeah, yeah, Man United aren't doing too well, are they? And you go, no. What do you think about Amrin? Yeah, I think I'll just check out of this. I'm really just pretending to like football because it sort of helps me in social situations. And that's what I feel like Sir Jim is. It feels like it's like, oh, yeah, I love the football. You know, keeps me in contact with my, you know, end of the day, I like football, not really because I know anything about it, but because I'm a working class hero. So, you know, when I'm mixing it up with the billionaires, I can say football and I know a little bit about it and it makes me look like I'm, you know, still in touch with my roots. And there's no evidence that he's got anything to do with football or any knowledge about football. I'm sorry. And I've said that for a long time and a lot of people have. Lifelong Man United fan. He's older than me. He's older than Ricky. He will have remembered United being relegated. I mean, I'm trying to figure it out. He's what? Into his 70s. So he should remember we wouldn't remember the Busby Babes, I don't think. I'm trying to think. So let's add 30 onto that, be 20. He'd have been around 20 years of age when George Best was playing in 68. He would be older than some of you now when we won the European Cup in 68. So he would know about Matt Busby and all of that. What an age to be. If you're in your early 70s, you've witnessed relegation, you've witnessed Busby, you've witnessed Sir Alex, and now you witness this. He's in charge of Man United and makes out he's a lifelong United fan. And he's witnessed 68. Like, I feel like everybody who witnessed the 90s is very, very fortunate because we know what Man United can be. But imagine if you witnessed the 80s, the 70s and the 60s as well. And this is how he behaves. And he's a lifelong Man United fan. No, I'm sorry. I'm just not buying it. I would, as somebody who witnessed the late 80s, 90s up to now, if I was in his position, I would not be behaving like this. I'd be like, I know what Man United should be and it shouldn't be these idiots, you know. But he witnessed the 60s as well. It's crazy. You know, when you think about his age and what he supposedly witnessed as a lifelong Man United fan, and he behaves like this. Behaves like a bloody Glazer puppet. Madness. Madness. And to be honest, if you want a really controversial statement, for a guy that apparently witnessed the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, noughties of Manchester United and is a lifelong Man United fan, no fucking way would you have appointed a manager who plays a 3-4-3. No fucking way. I'm sorry. I said it at the time. It was exciting to appoint Amrin because it meant we were going to spend a load of money. But I was surprised that we went with a 3-4-3 coach. I think if you are a Man United fan of heritage, you would not appoint a 3-4-3 coach. You'd put your foot down and go, this don't feel right. I'm not saying he's a Chelsea fan, but I don't think he's a, died in red Man United fan either. And he hasn't proved that. He's proved that. Manchester United used to be a byword for success and excellence. The ownership regime has turned us into a parody of what we used to be, a cautionary tale in less than half a century, says Emily Derry. I was doing a watch along on That's Football last night and somebody said, do you think Real Madrid are heading the same way as Man United now that they've sacked Alonso? And I went, what? No, completely the opposite. Real Madrid are not about to fall off and become shit and irrelevant over the next decade. You know, Real Madrid are obsessed. The reason they've sacked Alonso after 6 months, which is incredible, by the way, is because they're impatient to be good. It's because they're pissed off because Barcelona are better than them. And even though Alonso should be given a lot longer than 6 months, Real Madrid have decided, no. Abandon ship. We need to spend money and get some better players in and a better manager because they just can't accept being second place. Do you think United would have got have the gall to sack Carrick before season's end if things really start to fall apart, says Tipsy? I wouldn't condone that. What's the point in sacking an interim? You never know with this lot, but why? Bombardier, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. This vision is repeat the cycle at the end of the day. They great at cycling, best in class, says Mikey. Can I send him an email from India, the mayor, says Kev? Well, you probably can. He might not take any notice of it because he's the mayor of Manchester, but, you know, you can. Combat 93, Wombat, welcome to Members Club. Do you reckon Carrick could get us to Champions League with no January signing, says Amit. As I said at the start of the show, if I was in charge of that team and everybody stayed fit and everybody bought into it and adapted quickly, then I think that there's a 25% chance that we could get Champions League football. You know, it's not a high chance, but there is a chance. But I don't think everybody's going to stay fit. I don't think everyone's going to stay motivated. And also, I think when you give inconsistent people an excuse, the worst thing that the board have done here, well, no, it's not the worst thing, but another thing they've done that they haven't figured out, and there's multiple, right? What they've done is, right, they've sacked Amrin, and it wasn't the player's fault. Normally, when a manager gets sacked, the players get a bit of kickback. You know, it's your fault, you're down tools, etc. So the players are not really getting the blame for Amrin being sacked because it was because he fell out with the board, not the players. So, and they brought an interim till the end of the season, an inexperienced interim. So what, and the fans are going mad about the board. So if you're a player watching this for the last 10 days, you're in a really weird position. If you're Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes, whatever, you're in a weird position because you are disrupted. You're probably like, what's going on? But you're getting no shit. You're getting no shit at all. Nobody is blaming the players. Like when Mourinho went or Ollie went or Ten Hag went, the players did get some shit for it. You know, you are responsible as well. But they're not getting any blame for this. So it's really dangerous when you've got staff who are inconsistent, but now have a ready-made excuse that it's not their fault as well. So you're asking these inconsistent players to suddenly go, okay, we're going to help you out. You fucked up and you want us to work harder week in, week out to help you out. Whereas if it goes wrong, it's on you, not us. That's dangerous. That's really dangerous. And that's inexperience and ineptitude from the board as well, because the players won't get the blame. They'll still get called out for being shit, but they're not going to get the blame. This is going to be completely on the owners and the board if this goes to shit. That's dangerous. That's really dangerous, because you know what footballers are like. They'll be like, is there someone to blame? They'll do it. I don't know that you're going to get that motivation week in, week out. Also, it's World Cup year. So if you're Casemiro, if you're Bruno, if you're anybody that's going to the World Cup, you know, as soon as Champions League football looks like it's not going to happen, subconsciously, I think you start thinking about the World Cup and, you know, maybe don't go into that tackle. Maybe don't stretch for that stretch because you don't want to get the injury that's going to keep you out. We saw it with Ranić, didn't we? So, and again, that feeds in with not buying players in January, in my opinion. Do you think Bruno would speak up when he leaves, says Keel? I think he would. And I actually think Bruno Fernandes, I said this about Rooney, but Rooney obviously was a legend, but some people didn't appreciate him at the end. Time will be very kind on Bruno. I don't know whether he'll go down as a legend, but I think time will be kind on Bruno. You know, obviously he's had his detractors. I didn't like him in the midfield, but his record at United is very good. He always plays when he can. He always steps up. And I think time will be kind on him. And I think if he leaves and tells the truth, it'll be even kinder. You're wrong. Alonso sacked because of player power, says Piazza. I mean, I don't really care about Real Madrid. That wasn't the point, was it? Carrick might not be the last interim we have this season, says Raz. What if Ineos only bought into United for the stadium? Demolish Old Trafford, build new, sell the shares, but keep the stadium and fans being played. Well, Pokey, look, if you spend 1.7 billion for 28% of a business, and then in 5 years' time, it's worth double, you've just doubled your money. You've just made 3 billion. And remember, it's Ineos. Ineos has shareholders beyond Sir Jim Ratcliffe. I mean, look, nobody wants to have these conversations because it's, you know, they want to moan about Deleu, all right? They want to moan about formations. But Ineos is Sir Jim Ratcliffe's business, but it's not exclusively his. There are other shareholders. If he wants to buy into Man United, all the other shareholders who are not Man United fans have to say, we agree to that. Why are the other shareholders okay with Sir Jim Ratcliffe buying into Manchester United? Because there's a promise to make money. And if you're a shareholder and you don't like football and you don't like Man United and somebody says, we're going to put a billion in and in 5 years' time it'll be worth two, I don't give a shit. But that's the thing. People think that Sir Jim Ratcliffe's Ineos is his and his alone, and there are no shareholders and there are no decisions to be made. That money that's been invested in, there's people with a say in that money at Ineos who aren't into Manchester United. It's a business transaction, pure and simple, and it's all to do with the regeneration and the stadium. And maybe I didn't think that 2 years ago, but based on the last 2 years, they've got no interest in being a good football club. An English coach has never won the Premier League yet. Two out of the top three favourites are English, says not prepared. The title manager at United is yes man, says Amit. I don't think it will be Tuchel, by the way. I really don't think it will be Thomas Tuchel. Do you know why? I don't think it will be Thomas Tuchel for two big reasons. One, he's not a yes man and he falls out with the board, so they won't go near that. Two, he won't be out of the England job until at least the middle of July. At least. And then you're asking him to not have a break. We are not going to appoint a manager at the back end of July when we're starting the season in the middle of August. So we will not go for a manager in the World Cup. I guarantee you. People are talking about Ancelotti, Nagelsmann, Ranić, Tuchel. I guarantee you here and now, we do not go for a World Cup winning, a World Cup participating manager. It's a smokescreen. Like everything else, you're being lied to. They will not take a manager in the World Cup. It will be Southgate, who's available straight away, or Glasner, who's not signing a contract at Palace, or Iriola, who's not signing a new contract at...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bournemouth or maybe De Zerbi at Marseille. It'll be one of those four in my opinion. And I don't think any of them are good enough. I don't. Hand on heart, I don't think any of them are good enough. I can see them being sacked in 18 months. You look into the eyes of a manager now and you can see the aging and the, you know, deterioration. That none of those are right. I enjoy listening to your videos while driving. They're always entertaining. Big love from India, says ADH. Well, stay safe. Woody says, I'm in the 1% of fans. I actually don't think Southgate is as bad as people are making out, says Woody. Fair play. Takes all sorts. Sadly, I can see us finishing outside of the top 10. If that happens, hopefully that may push the change we need, says TH3. Sing with me. Looking back to when we first met, I cannot... No, fuck off. I know where that's going, Mr. Brain Freeze. Patrick Lynch says, they talk about DNA and they could get Southgate, the guy who plays the most pragmatic football possible with some of the best players in the world, says Patrick Lynch. And if Southgate's going to be our next manager, is there anybody going to back him? I certainly don't, says Arshad. I will be saying Southgate out on his announcement video. The thumbnail will be sack him. I'm not going to lie, though. I joked about it 2 years ago and I'm not going to change my mind. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to say sack him before he's even got the job. So, you know, and I don't think I'll be on my own with that. I mean, look, let's be real. It would be stunning if they appointed Southgate, but it's stunning some of the decisions they make anyway. And I tell you what, if they do go with Southgate, it's just another example of what they think of you. They don't think anything of you. It's just another up yours, isn't it? It could tomorrow. How do you think things get better, says Brixton? New owners, regime change. Michael Doherty says, this is what really does my head in. Those clowns on the board genuinely think we're all thick. There's no doubt in my mind they're already lining up Southgate. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can read them like a book and not a very good book, you know. As long as these owners are in charge, sanity and Manchester United are dead. I'm actually depressed with where United are at the moment, says Rovin. Look, the video I did at the start of last week saying no way back, thankfully most of you did listen to it and understood it when I was in the garden. I didn't say it for effect. I meant it. I still mean it. I still don't think we've hit rock bottom either. Clear identity, proper football leadership, ruthless squad clear out and full commitment to one plan. No more excuses. Most of all, ownership change is non-existent. Look, if I was a billionaire, right? If I was a billionaire, I must just say this very, very quickly. If I was a billionaire and I bought Manchester United, Callum says, if you want change, email the.mayor@greatermanchester-ca.gov.uk. If someone can copy that into the chat, then, you know, people who are living in Manchester... And don't send an email like this is the UK. We have a democratic society. The mayor of Manchester is voted in and elected. You know, no issues with Andy Burnham. Doing a great job, apparently. If you do live in Manchester and you don't want the Glazers or Sir Jim, or you do want them, you can email him. But do it in a way that's professional, obviously, because when people ruin that, you don't come across as professional. And this is how they treat fans of Manchester United. They think you're just a mob. They think you're just idiots. You know, they think you're just excitable prats. Actually, seriously, this is about regime change. Then you need to communicate that in a way that's, you know, detailed and, you know, relevant. As a person who lives in Manchester, if you're not happy with the mayor of Manchester working with this organisation, then, you know, I think the regeneration project's a good thing, by the way. And I think the stadium does now need to be rebuilt because the Glazers have ruined it. But in working with the Glazers and Ineos, they're going to be here for years and years and years. And that's detrimental to Manchester United Football Club and the fans, in some people's mind. I just returned home from Asia. Great. Thank you, mate. I've done that one, Connor Dave. I just want to finish on this. Please do smash a like on the video and subscribe. Another fantastic show this morning. You're absolute legends. Alexander says, I can see you Southgate in his waistcoat in the dugout. There's only one person wearing waistcoats now in this fan base, and that's me. My body warmer. So, if I was a billionaire and I got hold of Manchester United tomorrow, this is what I would do, right? First day, clear the debt. If I clear the debt, I'm not paying debt interest. It means we've got more money to spend. I don't think people realise that the debt is serviced in our revenue every year. So if we pay £40 million in a year on debt interest, that's £40 million that could be being spent on players or whatever. So I'll clear the debt straight away because I'm a billionaire. I'm clearing the debt. This is not good for the club. It means we can't buy players, etc. So the debt goes straight away. The next thing I'm going to do is appoint the best bloody manager I can for now. Not for tomorrow, for now. So I'm going to go and speak to Ancelotti. I'm going to go and speak to I probably would speak to Conte. I do like Conte. I'd have to have a chat with him about the back four, though. I don't know whether we should be trying a three again at the back. So I would focus on back four. I'll put my hands up because that's what Man United is to me. So I'd go for the best back four manager I can find. And they'd be coming in tomorrow. And I would go for the best CEO, the best director of football I could find. And 100%, I would be getting people involved in the club from the original people who are the best set of ex-legends we've got, who can properly put stuff into this football club. I would have conversations with people from the class of 92, certainly people like Roy Keane. I'm not interested in speaking to, with all due respect, Darren Fletcher, Rio Ferdinand, you know, Dwight York, legends slash greats of Manchester United, fine. But there are a collection of people who came through our youth setup and went on to be some of the best players in the world and were massively loyal to Manchester United in the class of 92. We've also got the most decorated Premier League captain in history in Roy Keane, who, you know, is a no-nonsense sort of person. They're the sort of people. I'm not sure what job I'd give them, but I don't need to speak to Rio. I don't need to speak to Darren and I don't need to speak to Dwight when I've got six or seven absolute come from the bottom to the top of the club and a great leader, that I'd just speak to them. I'd be like, right, how do we get you involved? What are your thoughts? You know, maybe there is a technical director position. Maybe they're on the board. You know, you need to speak to those type of people. I'm not interested in bloody influencers or shit like that. That's what I would do. Best CEO I can get, best director of football I can get, that within the vision I've got, best manager I can get. And if I'm speaking to ex-players, I'm speaking to them. And that's what I'd do in day one. Day one. And the debt's gone as well. And yeah, I'd also be speaking to fans on a very, very regular basis. Communication is key. If you want people to join your vision, communication is key. And maybe I wouldn't do it as the owner, but I'd certainly want my CEO to do it. I'd want my director of football to do it. I'd want the manager to manage. And he can do press conferences. But I want regular updates publicly, like they do at Bayern, like they do at Sporting. Get the fans on board with the vision. Honesty. And I tell you what I would do as well. With all those things I've done on day one, I'd also say this is where the reset starts. So this is where we start from today. I can't make you any promises in the first 3 years, but this is where it really starts. It starts today. And we might make mistakes. Things might go wrong. We can't take into account that you might sometimes buy a player that wasn't right for you, that you might have appointed somebody that was good but wasn't right for you, that other clubs might be far ahead and it's going to take time. But today is the real reset. And in the next 3 years, we're not going to be here. We're going to be in a different position. And that's what you do. And it's amazing that those open goals haven't been scored. And that's the worst thing about Ineos. There were so many open goals and they didn't score them, really. William says, I go back to Brazil tonight from Manchester to get married. Probably miss the derby on the weekend. I'm hoping to hear the crowd let feelings known, says William. I can see Southgate have done that one. Great show tonight. Great show this morning. We are back tonight at 7 o'clock. We've got a 2 o'clock show as well. But look, I'm loving the momentum. I'm loving the conversation. Let's hope it can continue. Stay safe, everybody. I'm on Terry's show, actually, at 11:30 this morning doing hot takes. So if you want to join me over there, I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll be there as well. I am doing the Chelsea game at 8 o'clock on That's Football. We had a great watch-along last night. So we're on at 7 o'clock here tonight. Yes. Thank you so much for tuning in, to making sure I haven't missed any super chats. Owen says, hope you're well, Mark. All the best. And to you, pal. The Bird says, going after players is pointless. Under a competent ownership like the likes of Delo and Luke Shaw would be binned off anyway. Exactly. Don't be distracted. You know, don't start arguing amongst yourselves. Don't listen to the people that try and deflect. I've seen it this week. People trying to take a pop at this community. I'm like, shut up. Not interested in arguing with you. Do we ever mention other people? Do we name other people? No. Not interested in your little arguments to try and make yourself get more views. Not bothered. Are you calling out the people that matter? Are you keeping that momentum going? Because we certainly are. Players got sticked for last season's performances with this excuse. Now they'll have a reason to give up the rest of the season, says Brickster. Fans are in that period before a ball has been kicked with Carrick in charge, thinking targets are possible. This is going to head south very quickly, says Nick P. Thank you very much. Okay, take care, everyone. Speak to you in a bit.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.